Well, hello, everybody. We are beginning the Esoteric Astrology Adventure number 94. I guess there was no 93B. And we will begin at this point. EAA 94A. And this is on the 2nd of May, 2013. Let's see where we have become. We talked about we're in the middle of the Leo chapter, and we talked about the Leo subject, and we noticed that not only for Pisces, but for Leo, the phrase which must be cultivated and the attitude of mind is, Father, not my will, but thine be done. There is self-will involved in the lower Leo individual. And even at the second phase of Leo, which is I am that, it is not yet the will of the Father, though in many ways the will of the soul is the will of the Father. Finally, when we have I am that and that I am, the third phase of Leo selfhood, indeed one is identified with the monad, and it is correct to say at that point, and meaningfully, obediently said, Father, not my will, but thine be done. So we have the heights of service attained in these two signs, Leo and Aquarius. And even the Leo individual is capable of group service, of course, but he will oftentimes be the dynamic center of an Aquarian group. Does that seem to be a contradiction? According to Alice Bailey, it was not, at least at the time she was writing. She said that esoteric groups are, truly esoteric groups, are led by a particular point at the center. We see this to be the case in the structure of the ashram. We see this to be the case in the hierarchy as a whole. And it is the case also with Sanat Kumara, definitely. Okay. So, Father, not my will, but thine be done. Commonly found in relation to the acquiescence of Pisces, but Leo has a great need of it as well. Now, we move a little further here. And, yes, there we go. Okay. The Tibetan says, I would also call your attention to another interesting fact in connection with this sign. No planet falls in Leo, and no planet is exalted in this sign. Whilst the power of both Uranus and Saturn is somewhat lessened, except in the case of the initiate who responds powerfully to the esoteric influence of Uranus. And by that we have to consider its soul ray and even its monadic ray. That because the term esoteric, as I have said, esoteric is commonly used to indicate the monadic level. So Saturn is definitely lessened. It is considered to be in detriment in Leo, and yet there is an instance in which we have an alignment coming from the Great Bear. It involves Saturn, and it involves Leo, Saturn, and Shambhala as well. So in that particular case, Saturn is a conduit, but again, it's a rather esoteric level. The same basic teaching is here conveyed as was taught by the Sun ruling exoterically, esoterically and hierarchically. Leo, in its consciousness, is the dominant self-aware agent. I suppose we are speaking particularly of those people who have the pronounce Leo in their astrological chart, but perhaps in a larger and cosmic sense, DK is speaking of the quality of consciousness of that constellational lord himself in a much larger context. So the same basic teaching is here conveyed as was taught by the sun ruling exoterically, esoterically, and hierarchically. Leo in its consciousness is the dominant self-aware agent. Those are two important words, both dominant and self-aware, and both are true. And the Leo individual does not allow the compromising of what that self-awareness has revealed. He is revealed as a certain type of self, and it is not allowed that external agencies will compromise what his awareness has revealed. And he has therefore the control and can, because of this, remain uninfluenced. Now, here, this is interesting because Saturn rules circumstance, all external influence. And we have seen earlier how the Leo individual is resistant to the commands, to the controls that come from the environment. So interestingly then, Saturn is in detriment here, because the individual is controlled by his own internal center, his own internal selfhood, and not by those kinds of customary controls to which many people are subject, coming from the environment. This fact, so he remains uninfluenced, at least by externalities, and strongly influenced by his own determinations. Okay, this fact will be increasingly understood as the advanced Leo subject makes his appearance, and let us say this is probably not happening to a great extent yet. He will be distinguished by his personal freedom from outside control. He is resistant to that type of control because it would compromise the selfhood he has discovered himself to be, the selfhood he knows himself to be. He knows innately, it says here, that he is king of himself, the most important type of kingship, for which perhaps kingship over others prepares one. He knows innately that he is the king of himself, the ruler of his own life, and therefore no planet is exalted, and likewise no planet falls. So can we understand that other planets do not have sway over him? The planets are planetary to the sun, and the sun here represents the center of selfhood, which has dominance over other factors, over other planets. The power of the mind, as symbolized by Uranus, is lessened. Well, this is at first, let us say, in the normal type of detriment. The power of the mind, as symbolized by Uranus, is lessened. Uranus rules Aquarius, therefore it is in detriment. So Uranus represents many types of mind, and we're speaking here not of the occult mind allied to the will. We're speaking more of the scientific mind, as DK has often spoken of in relation to Uranus, the intelligent scientific mind, but not necessarily the willfully animated occult mind, which can, I would think, be quite strengthened when we're dealing with a higher type of Leo individual ruled esoterically by Uranus, hierarchically, really. So the mind we are discussing here is the ordinary, more ordinary mind, and not occult mind. Because after all, Leo does have a great deal of the fifth ray coming through it as well, and this would correlate well with the higher powers of Uranus, which are much connected with electrical energy. So the reason here, the power of the mind as symbolized by Uranus is lessened, the ordinary mind, for it is not the mind which in reality controls, but the self or soul using and controlling the mind. And this makes sense, of course. But when it comes to the idea of the self, Uranus is a pronounced planet. It represents some of the deepest authenticity of selfhood. It represents the archetype, the purpose which is intending to express and using the mind to help in that type of expression. So Uranus is the archetype as well as the mind. Occult mind helps in the expression of the archetype. The man is not then conditioned by his surroundings or life events. That's Saturn, right? Okay, Saturn. But rules them with deliberation, with forethought. All of this coming from his own selfhood. There's so much that allies Uranus and Leo, just as Uranus and Aries are closely allied because we're dealing with the strong sense of selfhood. The sun is powerful in both signs, exalted in Aries and ruling in Leo, but rules them with deliberation, bringing out of circumstances and environment that which he requires. So the Leo man using Uranus is the dominating factor. He is the conditioning factor. He conditions his environment and is not conditioned by it. And this we find very much when we think about Uranus. Uranus is a conditioning planet. It's the archetype conditioning conditions. And Saturn represents more those conditions which have been brought into place by various factors. Saturn, therefore, the Lord of Karma, has his power lessened in this sign. Saturn, as I said, except for that one exception that I discussed in the triangle Leo, Pisces, and Capricorn. So by the time a man is advanced in Leo, he is conditioning his environment. He has overcome much of his karma, and he is able to offset and neutralize karma through the power of his innate selfhood. It is for this reason we are told here that Safariel is incorrect when he gives Saturn as the ruler of the first decanate. Okay, so speaking of the decanates then, it is for this reason that Safariel is incorrect when he gives Saturn as the ruler of the first decanate. Apparently this first decanate is to be powerful in the overcoming of karma and is not karmically conditioned. The three decanates given by him are ruled by Saturn, Jupiter, and Mars. Now, Alan Leo is nearer to the truth when he gives us Sun, Jupiter, and Mars. So basically, we have a Sun and Saturn contradiction here. And considering the way the older solar system used to look before the discovery of the trans-Saturnian planets, we have Saturn at the outermost and the Sun at the innermost. However, DK does give a different set of rulers in the following way. He says, self-rule through initial conflict, carried to a successful issue, and blessed by the beneficence of Jupiter, is the true history of the Leo aspirant, and this is distinct. This is distinct from either Leo or Sephario. So basically, he's giving us Mars, I believe, because that's the initial conflict, Sun, and Jupiter. Jupiter seems to be the shared by the Tibetan Leo and Alan Leo and Sephario all. He reverses the position, however. Instead of Saturn, Jupiter, and Mars, well, come to think of it, you know, the Tibetan really does rearrange this. The three factors are always the same in the fire signs. In Aries, we have Jupiter, Sun, and Mars. In Leo, it looks like we have Mars, Sun, and Jupiter. And in Sagittarius, the Sun holds up the final decanate. Let's take a look at that, just to be sure. I think, right. Okay. So here we have actually a look at the Sagittarius decanates, and we see that they are Jupiter, Mars, and the Sun. So Jupiter rules the first decanate for both Libra, it does rule for Libra, but it rules the first decanate for both Aries and Sagittarius. Mars is ruling the middle decanate for Sagittarius, whereas it rules the first decanate for Leo and the last decanate for Aries. And the Sun is found in the central decanate for both Aries and Leo, but it's found in the last decanate, which is appropriate when dealing with, when dealing with the presence of Sagittarius. Okay. Now, I think, so I'll just read that again, just to make sure. The self-rule, that is the Sun, ruling all over all other conditioning factors, namely the planets, carried to a successful issue. Self-rule through initial conflict, which is Mars, carried to a successful issue, which is Jupiter, and blessed by the beneficence of Jupiter, finally, is the true history of the advanced Leo aspirant. And by aspirant, we do not necessarily mean one who has not yet taken initiation. In the Tibetans' view, the aspirant can even be one who is aspiring to take the third initiation. And this thought and the objective result of this realization is summed up for us in the two word models of this sign. And the word said, let other forms exist, I rule because I am, which shows that incredible positivity, right or wrong, of the Leo individual. And finally, we'll get to it later, I am that, and that am I. All right. I am the word of the self-conscious individual Leo. I am that, the word of the Leo subject who is rapidly gaining the higher consciousness, the soul consciousness, and preparing for fresh and universal expression in Aquarius. And I am that I am is the statement of the one who knows himself to be the one. Now, what I'd like to do is take a look here at these constellations and extrazodiacal constellations for Leo. Let's see, maybe I can expand this picture just a little bit. I think I can do that. Yeah. So, for Leo, the first of the constellations is the Hydra, first of the extrazodiacal constellations. At least this is, it cannot necessarily be established that each one of these constellations is distinctly related to one of the decanates, but it seems that there is a probable connection. The Hydra, who is the sea serpent, is very much like having to overcome this great beast in the first decanates. Interesting, there are lessons of humility here. So in some respects, the Saturn suppressing that type of elemental rebellion against the light would make some degree of sense. But the higher sun, or the higher self, is what masters the lower self. And so the sun decanate fits the sun in that particular decanate. The next decanate, we have assigned Krater the cup. And, well, come to think of it, you know, when you really look at this, Alan Leo puts the sun in the first decanate, but the Tibetan puts Mars there. And so perhaps we can consider this the battle with the sea serpent, yes? And the sun representing the fullness of the chalice in the second decanate, the causal vehicle, receiving the beneficence of the higher powers and bestowing these sun-like powers upon the personality as lives elapse. So the cup or chalice or Krater the cup, the grail, fits with the Christ principle, which in this case can be represented by the sun. The third decanate appears to be Corvus, the crow. And this has in it the idea of the omen, or the god speaking, or the deva speaking through birds and issuing karmic warnings. Whether we can ally that successfully with Jupiter, I don't know. Jupiter is given as the ruler on the wheel of consciousness, and perhaps there's always a growth in consciousness which results from following the advice or the warnings of the gods. But those warnings seem Saturnian in a certain respect as well. The crow is black, and one of the colors of Saturn is black. We do not have Saturn as a ruler there, but there seems to be a sense of it, as we look at the meaning of Corvus. It's not always pleasant interventions and advice and warnings that come from the deity. So in this case, perhaps the assigned extra zodiacal constellations and the planets given by the Tibetan do not exactly correspond. We have a number of interesting maladjustments here in Leo. We are told that Sapphariel's Saturn is incorrect in the first decanate, and we are not given Saturn in connection with Leo at all, where it is found in detriment. We notice that generally the Tibetan does not give extra or trans-Saturnian planets as rulers of the decanates. He pretty well sticks to the Saturn and the intra-Saturnian planets, as well as the Sun and the Moon. But anyway, Spirit speaks through the crow, and we are hearing the opinion of the gods in the forms of omens from the crow. Corvus, I understand, did not properly complete his mission as assigned by Zeus, and there was a punishment for that. Jupiter is here in relation to that. Now, if we look at another chart, one that I sort of devised here, remember how we do this. We look at the wheel of form, and we look at the wheel of consciousness. The wheel of form turns in a clockwise direction. The wheel of consciousness turns in the anti-clockwise direction. And so you see here the arrows leading towards personality integration, which I have represented here as a kind of a green star, and then moving in the reverse direction towards a blue star, which represents complete soul infusion and spirit infusion. So what we have here is, let's see, do this. Okay, what I did was I brought up a wheel here, which Stephen Pugh has put together, and here he it's different from the wheel that Nicholas Nilén is using. Here the outer planets are the outer wheel is considered to be the ordinary wheel and is progressing in a clockwise manner with the three decanate rulers which the Tibetan suggested, beginning however with Jupiter's sun in the middle, always the same, and Mars for the third decanate. But now on the reversed wheel, moving in the counterclockwise direction, we have the color pink, which shows an evolution over the red of Mars and is more the rose of aspiration. And we have the sun in the second decanate and Jupiter in the final decanate. Now here, let's see if I can find this. Okay, decanate graphics, and this decanate wheel, right. Here, what Nicholas does is he uses the Sepharial decanates. For him, the outer wheel is considered esoteric. That's the way he set it up. So Mars, Sun, and Jupiter are there. But interestingly, he is reversing these slightly. We have Jupiter, we have Saturn, Jupiter, and Mars, only Saturn is ruling the area from 20 degrees to 30 degrees, and I'm sure, I understand why Nicholas did this, because, you know, we're considering that Saturn rules the first decanate, and Mars rules the last when it comes to Sepharial. However, Sepharial was not considering the reversal of the wheel, and so when he assigned Saturn, he assigned it to the 0 to 10 degrees, and when he assigned Mars, he assigned Mars to the 20 to 30 degrees. Anyway, the way I have set this up is similar to Stephen Pugh, with Jupiter ruling the last decanate, what we would normally call the last decanate, but it's really the first if we're advancing in a clockwise manner. So Jupiter, Sun, and Mars, and then once we reverse the wheel, it's Mars, Sun, and Jupiter for the more advanced types. Okay, now when we look at some of the meanings here, perhaps it's not so profitable to, let's see if can I move that, it's not so profitable to look at the very early types of physical man. In any case, Sepharial would have that early type of man under Mars in the last decanate, and so would Alan Leo. Interesting. They both would have Jupiter for the middle decanate. The Tibetan disagrees with that, interestingly enough. And if we assign Corvus to the middle decanate, I think the sun is the suitable symbol. All right. From the physical perspective, we have to look at the rulers in a different way. The sun is the ruler for the average man, both physical, emotional, and mental. And We do not yet have the sun veiling Neptune coming in with power until the man is spiritually oriented, nor do we have the sun veiling Uranus coming in until the man is oriented towards the divine. So the sun is the ruler of all personality aspects. We have here the sun is the orthodox ruler. The sun represents the physical body, the lowest expression of the primitive ego. Indeed, when primitive man and even modern man looks at what he is, he often considers himself to be the body, which is the greatest of all possible mistakes, as the physical body is the least real aspect of the equipment of man. The man is, quote, sensitive to his bodily instinctual nature, coming from, you know, from the physical body itself. He's consciousness is always sensitive. The altitude of consciousness depends upon that to which it is sensitive. So in the very early Lemurian days, man is sensitive to the body above all. And this defines his sense of self. It's the lower self, or the hidden point. Now, this is in terms of how DK describes these things on page 332 of Esoteric Astrology. So you see here, we have the lower self, the hidden point. This is the Leo unfoldment for the undeveloped man and for the advanced man and for the disciple initiate. From the lower self to the higher self to the one self, and from the hidden point to the revealing point, which is very much, in a sense, the jewel and the lotus, to the relinquished point, which is the understanding of omnipresence. Leo seeks release in Scorpio, which destroys its egoic nature and destroys the Ahamkara principle and allows a wide identification with the principle of life itself. Okay, so in the beginning, the man is asserting himself aggressively upon the physical plane. There's the sense of body as self. So this is under Mars, you see. Let's go a little bit higher. Okay. In a sense, we have, sometimes you can exchange the first and third decanate. We have a kind of a self-assertion going on here. The sense of body as self is under the sun. And then under Jupiter, in a sense, the man is a physical unity, fully engaged in the world of the senses. He has no subjective life. He is fully the body as the lower self. Okay. So we are at the point here, having looked at the physical life, and these categories, physical, emotional, mental, personal, soul, and monadic, are under the rulers, not the decanate rulers, but the rulers of the sign themselves. So we have for these three rulers, the sun in the personal phase, the sun veiling Neptune in the soul phase, and the sun veiling Uranus in the spirit phase. Okay, looking at the emotional life, under the sun as orthodox ruler, this is the Atlantean phase, the self-centeredness of the desire body, self-centeredness is symbolized by the sun. The man is sensitive to his desires and emotions, which define his sense of self. He's still the lower self. He's still the hidden point. If we were to begin over here on the wheel moving clockwise, the man is becoming the sensitive center of his own universe, So the sun is dominating and Jupiter is the sub-ruler here. You see, that's the question, of course, you know. There probably is something to the Alan Leo assignment of decanates. Because if we start with Leo sub Leo, we get the sun. If we go with Leo sub Sagittarius, we get Jupiter. And if we go Leo sub Aries, we get Mars. And some of these characteristics may indeed work out. In other words, Mars may indeed operate from 20 to 30 degrees for the individual who is both undeveloped and for the developed individual. Jupiter may work out in the center in relation to Sagittarius, and the Sun may work out in relation to the Leo decanate. There is a certain level of expression at which the Alan Leo decanates, which are taken from an ancient Hindu system, which is very rigorous, will work out. And they even work out, these rulerships even work out in terms of the appearance of people. So the Alan Leo sub-rulers do work out. I do think the Tibetans tend to be more on a psychological, spiritual level. And this, of course, needs to be tested out. The way we have done this is to use primarily the Tibetans' approach, namely the Mars-Sun-Jupiter reverse, so it's Jupiter-Sun-Mars. But we should not forget this agreement that both Alan Leo and Safariel have. On some level, there is an expression of these factors, and maybe we will even find a type of expression of the Saturnian factor in the very first decanate of Leo. All of this has to be tested. This is not to deny that the Tibetan says that Safariel is incorrect. From the Tibetan's perspective, and probably what he's trying to work out in terms of psycho-spiritual advancement, Safariel probably is incorrect and certainly is very exoteric in terms of his assignment. Saturn definitely does have its detriment in Leo, and one is not conditioned by the outer circumstances. So for that reason, Saturn may be incorrect in the very first decanate. We have to see whether the appearance of individuals or their behavior when they are not yet aspirants and disciples warrants this Saturn in any respect. Because after all, Safariel's system is an old Chaldean system. It's not his own idea. He's just working things through as the Chaldeans had done it, and having to do with the planetary periods around the Earth. Okay, so now we're in the emotional phase. In the second decanate, it's ruled by the Sun. Man expands his range of contacts, reacting to a wider range of impacts. That's Jupiterian in a certain sense. It's also solar. And the man expresses his emotions dramatically and assertively, making an emotional impact on his surroundings. So far, there is not a great deal of mind here. We're still in the Atlantean phase. But now we get into the mental phase, where the fifth ray of Leo actually does begin to rule. We remember that Leo has a fifth ray and a first ray component, both of them on the hard line. So these are rays of will. Right. Now we're dealing with the mental personal self. Of course, in terms of rulerships, it's still the Sun, because we are in the realm of the personality. The man is sensitive to his own thoughts and mental formulations, which define his sense of self. What I think is what I am. But the mind begins to gain a degree of light. The man is still, however, the lower self. He is still the hidden point, but with the growing potential to move towards the higher self and the revealing point. At least the thought that there is a higher self can be grasped at certain stages in this mental and lower personal phase. So Mars is the ruler, interestingly enough, of the concrete mind, and so will have to be here no matter what. In a way, Mars is the ruler of all personality vehicles. It should be there as well for the emotional phase. And Mars is the ruler of the physical vehicle as well. So the mind is intensifying here and expands and becomes the center of consciousness. The fifth ray is becoming more powerful. For the man in the second decanate under the sun, the mind is becoming increasingly luminous, and the man can identify with it increasingly. And then in the Martian phase, which is 0 to 10 degrees, we remember the man is moving in a reverse manner. Well, I shouldn't say reversed, I should say a clockwise manner. Man becomes increasingly dominant and assertive, and the mind becomes positive, controlling of the emotional life, directing the emotional life. There still may be a good deal of impulse because Mars is involved. So those are the some seed ideas. There's more that can be said. I mean, we could develop the Leo decanates here. We could develop the Allen Leo decanates. We could develop the Safariel decanates, see how they correspond with behavior. Right now, we are using the reversal of the Tibetan's decanates when he says Mars, Sun, Jupiter. We're using Jupiter, Sun, Mars, and these may well have their application. As I said, we cannot necessarily forget what the Hindu system tells us and the Chaldean system tells us. Now we enter the phase where the man is reversing the wheel. So aspiration is becoming powerful. There is a higher personality involved here, and the man is integrating, as he tends to do under the sign Leo, because Leo is the sign, particularly, of personality integration. So this is taking place under the sun as the ruler, first as itself, and then as it veils the esoteric ruler, Neptune. We're dealing, perhaps, with the beginning of the fifth petal. Certainly, we are in the petals of love. We are in that phase where the higher of the pairs of opposites can begin to be sensed. So there is at first the sense of being an isolated personality under the sun, because the sun represents the personality as a whole. When we study esoteric astrology and we're looking at the sun sign, it has very much to do with the personality nature and with the integrating and dominant personality eventually. So there's the sense of being an isolated personality becoming dominant, but this begins to wane. The personality is slowly in the process of illumination, coming from the sun, and gradually is becoming the higher self, or related to the higher self at least, the revealing point. We all seek the soul on the higher mental plane to be the point of illumination for us. At least this is what we seek at first. The boundaries of the lower ego begin to dissolve. Now, that is a very Neptunian statement. We think we are one thing, but those hard and fast boundaries, I am this and not that, begin to give way under the influence of boundary dissolving Neptune. And the man aspires, and that is Neptunian, one-pointed aspiration coming in under Neptune, towards his higher identity, the higher self. So we are in a phase here where we are lifting gradually from the solar plexus to the heart. Now here we are going in the counterclockwise order. It's a little bit easier perhaps because we know more of ourselves as aspirants and disciples when we consider the counterclockwise effects. Perhaps we have left behind these lower personal effects which show themselves now and then. So first we have under Mars, the ruler of 0 to 10 of Leo, well, you know, Hydra, of course, is really there. You can see how 0 to 10 of Leo for the average man could be quite predatory, having a Mars rulership and association with that very large constellation, the Hydra. First, a very assertive personality, but the man tires of this. And he begins to look beyond his mentality and even beyond his assertive personality. He begins to yearn. Now, there's a good Neptunian word. He begins to yearn intensely for a higher life. He moves beyond the strictly selfish effect of the fifth petal process, which is occurring in the earlier part of the fifth petal process as it is simply beginning to unfold, and dropping certain aspects of his selfishness, not all yet, because Ahamkara is not defeated, he becomes an aspirant. Now, when we're in the 10 to 20 phase, the sun is the ruler. First, a very dominant personality in the early fifth petal phase, but the man begins to realize certain aspects of the higher self within his lower self. He's discontent. The self is not large enough. The sense of there being two suns emerge, like a higher of the pairs of opposites and a lower. The heart center is beginning to be stimulated because of the awareness of the higher sun, and the soul has a direct connection with the heart center. So we have a kind of a solar plexus. We have sort of a Mars in the first decanate moving to the heart in the second decanate, from the solar plexus to the heart. Of course, Alice Bailey, she was strongly Leo, and even in her high phase of development, stage of development, there was a transference going on between solar plexus and heart. So we realize that this can go on rather a long time. Now we get to the 20 to 30 degree phase, which is ruled by Jupiter, and Jupiter can be quite conceited at first. Now remember, we're dealing with kind of dominating personality here in this phase of the initial part of the reversal of the wheel. This is the strongly integrated personality that can be very self-important and maybe somewhat, you know, pompous and larger than he should be, larger than his actual status warrants, at least in his own conceit. The man begins, however, to embrace the life of the soul, because Jupiter is always opening the door to the soul, and feels through the opening heart, that ruled by Jupiter for the disciple, or for the aspirant, that he is outgrowing his strictly personal self. Jupiter is growing, helping him grow beyond his normal ring pass knot. And he begins to understand what it means to reach out for and include and participate in the larger life of the higher self. And he wants to include more than his personality nature. So there are definitely signs of beginning to tread the path. We're moving towards the first initiation, which is a great expansion of consciousness relatively. And we remember that that the sun may be even the veiled ruler of Jupiter when it comes to the its earlier rulership. So the first initiation is very Jupiterian in a certain respect. It does greatly expand the heart and greatly expand the consciousness. And in this third decanate, in this fourth or aspirational phase of the 0 to 10 degrees, we get that kind of expansion occurring. All right. Now, this has been, I'll do another one and then have to save for the next program, the final phase of Leo. Now, okay, thus far we have been dealing with the sun as the ruler, with a little bit of an aspirational hint of the sun veiling Neptune. But now we will move into the disciplic or soul phase. It is under the sun, but as the sun veils Neptune, where the solar flames are stored. Sometimes we think of Neptune as such a cool and maybe watery planet, but it is fiery in its heart's nature. And it is the place where the, let's see if we can find that. Let's see, Neptune, solar, flames. Well, that might do it. Neptune is the repository of the solar flames from the Treatise on Cosmic Fire, page 11, 54, the repository of the solar flames. So this means that it has much to do with nurturing and conveying solar fire in the solar system, and certainly on Earth, and certainly for man. So two identities now exist, the two suns. Really, there's a triple sun, of course, and in a way, this triple sun represents body, soul, and spirit. So at least two suns exist for the disciple who's attempting to live as a soul. But the man is more closely identified now with being a soul than being a personality. He is slipping away from personality identification. So he's more fully the higher self, the revealing point. He realized there is a great illumination coming from the soul, and essentially that's what he is. He is a point of revelation within the lower three worlds. And he's aware at this stage of the possibility, later in this stage perhaps, of becoming the one self or the relinquished point. But this would he would this would really come into focus once the third initiation had been taken. So under the Mars rulership of the 0 to 10, the initial conflict, there is a realization of the limiting nature of Ahamkara. What we normally consider self is a very limited limitation upon the perception of reality. The soul begins to assert itself. That's the Martian factor, and this is very different from personality assertion. In the sun phase, the disciple knows he is the soul and walks the earth as a soul-infused personality. The sun here is illuminating all aspects of the personality gradually until it's very much illuminated at the third degree, but I would say most completely illuminated as the fourth degree is being taken. The higher self is evident. That's the second sun. The higher self is evident in all personality expression, and the sense of identity has changed, more identified with the soul than the personality. So one has found the higher sun and realizes himself to be that. And then here, finally under Jupiter, Jupiter is ruling the heart center, especially for disciples. You can see that here on page 517. The average man is this, and maybe the aspirant is somewhere in between, and disciples and initiates, esoteric planets are involved here, and the heart center is ruled by Jupiter and the second ray. We see that, right? Okay. So now Jupiter is ruling, according to the Tibetan, this blessing, this beneficence coming in the final decanate. The heart center expands under the impress of the energies of the heart of the sun. And under Jupiter, which is ruling the heart center, qualifications for the second initiation are realized and expressed. So generosity of soul and inclusiveness and embracing others within the group. Jupiter, as we know, rules the second phase of Aquarius, and so Jupiter is associated with group consciousness, with the right organization of all factors within the group. Well, what I'm going to do now here is delay just a little getting into the initiatic and monadic phase. I'll save that for the next tape. This tape has had a few, well, it's not a tape at all, it's a program, a few ambiguities relating here to the expression of Mialin Leo decanates and Sapphireos decanates. The Mars effect in the end of the average decanates, the normal decanates, and the Jupiter effect in the middle. In other words, Alan Leo agrees with Sifariel. Sifariel with Alan Leo. We can leave Saturn aside here for the moment to be studied, but they both agree on Jupiter and Mars ruling the second and third decanates. So we have to study human nature quite strongly to see whether this is the fact. Simply because they are less right than the Tibetan does not mean they are totally wrong. I mean, this we certainly see in the Hindu, or the Indian system of assigning decanates. There is much that works out in the realm of appearance, and appearance reflects the etheric body, and etheric body reflects the causal body. Much that works out in the realm of appearance in the system, the Indian system, which Alan Leo espouses. Okay, we will now stop this particular program, hoping we are about at an hour, and we will go on to the next program.